Welcome to the Waco Experience, an American story.
We the people.
With your host, D. Scott Smith.
In order to form a more perfect union.
Interviews with leaders in business, government, and nonprofit organizations.
Promote the general welfare.
Jobs, products and services, and infrastructure for strong communities.
Secure the blessings of liberty.
The Waco Experience is an American story, a story of communities across America. It is your story.
20, 30 years ago, the downtown in Waco is not what it is today. And so I remember getting off the Greyhound and thinking, where is everybody?
I'm your host, D. Scott Smith. In this episode of the Waco Experience, an American Story, my guest is Emily Kirtner, owner of North Crest RV Park. Tourism in Waco is thriving, and it's not a new venture. Here at North Crest RV, Emily's father purchased the park over 30 years ago, which has been around for about 100 years.
I'm a Texas native, and I feel like it doesn't matter where you grew up in Texas. It's just a very unique bond. It's a privilege, I feel, to be born and raised in Texas.
The road from Dallas to Austin passes right through Waco. May 11th, 1953, one of dozens of tornadoes devastating communities in the U.S. hit Waco, killing nearly 150 people. The damage can still be seen when you look at the former bottling plant and present Dr. Pepper Museum here in downtown Waco. The impacts of catastrophe last decades. The July 2025 floods in Central Texas changed lives. My heart is with those who have lost family and friends. My spirit is strengthened witnessing community come together to help in any way we can. Physical goods pour into the region, building supplies and builders, hands holding hands. As Emily has just said, it's a unique bond and privilege. Thank you to those who have supported those in need wherever they live in your community. This program is made possible by sponsors, White Bluffs Construction, Custom Building, Home Remodeling. Call Seth at 254-227-2002 and schedule White Bluffs Construction to build your patio, deck, or pergola. Visit their website, whitebluffsconstruction.com. Monica Shannon of Texas Healthcare for You. Help my family to find the right coverage. Call Monica today at 254-339-3421. Visit the website, texashealthcareforyou.com. That's TX Healthcare, the number 4 and the letter U.com. Biddy and Bo's Coffee offers hot and cold beverages, catering, and provides employment for people with disabilities. Visit Biddy and Bo's Coffee today at 110 Franklin in Waco. The Cactus Rose Ranch offers riding lessons or ranch parties, and their nonprofit program, Healing Heroes with Horses. Details online at thecactusroseranch.com. Heart of Texas TV Indoor Billboards. My friend JB James Battle, former helicopter pilot for the U.S. Army, and his team at Hot TV amplify your brand where it matters most. Be seen where your customers eat, work, shop, and play. Learn more on the web at hotdigitaltv.com. D. Scott here. I am at North Crest RV Park. Brought the mobile studio out here to talk with Emily Kirtner. So here's how we met. My friends out at Affordable Outdoor Buildings, and that's Lauren and Jim Hardy, they were gathering supplies to take down to Kerrville. A lot of people are involved in what's going on in Kerr County and the different flooding areas. And they said they were going to be taking a truck down and had some items they needed. So I went to Walmart, grabbed some stuff, and was taking it over there. Google Maps misdirected me, and I got to pull into North Crest RV and meet Emily, who wanted to also help. So she pulled out some cash and gave it to me, and I took it over to Jim and Lauren, and it is right now doing good in the disaster area, helping families out. So I was just really impressed and wanted to come down and talk with Emily and find out about what's going on. And again, this is all about how we come together. So the people that have been affected by the floods and the tragic loss of life that happened there. I can't change that. And I will tell you that government programs also won't make the difference. But it is the individuals. It is each one of us doing what we can, giving a bottle of water or some food or some prayers. But some tangible help is really necessary right now. So we got together and gave some stuff out. And so I wanted to come down and talk to Emily about the Northcrest RV. We'll talk about her life. And we're going to get inspired today. So with that, Emily, give us a little introduction about yourself and Northcrest RV Park.
Sure. I have been here at Northcrest RV Park for 4 years. My dad has had the park for 32 years. And about 4 or 5 years ago, his health started to, slowly decline. And I kind of just reviewed the situation and realized that I could sit back and do nothing and just, let him make the decisions that he felt he needed to make, or I could come up and help. I could come up and learn the ropes. And my dad is an extremely smart man. And I thought to myself, if I could go and spend 5 years with him, I could possibly save myself 10 years of problems. Because of his wisdom, I thought if I could go glean his wisdom and learn the lessons that he learned, if I didn't have to go through all the hard lessons that he had to go through, I felt like I would advance myself. As we talk a little bit, you'll realize that I've had a history where I've kind of delayed my advancement. So I'm trying to catch up. So I came here to catch up.
So you got here 4 years ago. Your dad's been running it for over 30 years. Mm-hmm. And so did you grow up here at the park?
I did not. Actually, I grew up visiting. So I'm originally from San Antonio, Texas, born and raised. And my dad bought the park 32 years ago. And I would come up and visit. My first visit here, I took the Greyhound from San Antonio to Waco. And I remember stepping out of the Greyhound, and I don't know if you've ever been to the Greyhound in San Antonio, but it's smack dab in the middle of downtown, and there, our downtown in San Antonio is just like a hustling and bustling, which is the way Waco is now, but this was 20, 30 years ago, and so 20, 30 years ago, the downtown in Waco is not what it is today, and so I remember getting off the Greyhound and thinking, where is everybody? Because I had never been here. And it just seemed like a ghost town. And but I came to Waco to visit my dad, and we worked a lot too. Every time my dad's all about work, and that's what I've realized, that my family, we bond over work. We, some families bond over meals. We bond over work. So we put roofs on certain buildings. We just did lawn care. We worked on equipment together. We just did all kinds of stuff every year that I would come up and visit. And so no, I did not grow up here, but I'm a Texas native. And I feel like it doesn't matter where you grew up in Texas. It's just a very unique bond. And it's a privilege, I feel, to be born and raised in Texas, because it's like the example of the Kerr County flood. I had some folks ask me, well, is that near you? And I'm like, oh, it's 2 hours away. They're like, oh, that's not close. And I'm like, this is
Texas difference. Texas distances, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like I am kind of going through it with them. I'm not nearly, I'm not nearly entrenched in it to the degree that they are, but I feel like I am getting like a secondary experience, a secondhand experience from reading and listening and watching. And So I do feel very much like it's like, even though I may not be born and raised in Kerrville, I care for it deeply. And so it's a Texas thing.
Well, as we were going into church on Sunday, and that was just 2 days after the fourth floods, and I told my wife, be prepared, because guaranteed we are going to have people in our church that have direct connections to people who have lost folks in the floods. And absolutely, that's what happened. So it's a big state, but it is interconnected. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that is great about living down here and watching people come together and provide support for people. In this case, this is a big tragedy, but I've seen it in smaller ones too, where it's a house fire or it's a localized flooding or something like that. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit more about the current RV park. This is 7 acres here.
Yep, 7.
And you're right on
I-35. I-35 and Business 77, which is New Dallas Highway, adjacent to Old Dallas Highway. So this was the before I-35 is how you would get to Dallas, which is just kind of mind blowing. And so, but yeah, that's, and so we're right on the corner. We're kind of at this little triangle apex here, and just a really unique location because we get all kinds of surprises off of from I-35, and probably my favorite are the weary travelers, are the folks that they're on a journey and something has happened and they've been forced off the highway or they've been forced out of their situation and in need, they show up here. And typically it's going to be late at night, or you know, the car's breaking down, the RV's got a flat, something along those lines. One of the unique cases was Walmart surprisingly closed their electric charging stations for vehicles without notifying the app. And one day, all of a sudden, I had all these folks showing up wanting to charge their electric vehicles. And I'm like, where are you coming from? And they're like, the Walmart's closed. And you were the closest place. And so I was like, okay, yeah, sure. And so I just started plugging people in to charge their electric cars. And, you know, and some, like, probably the most touching story was this one couple that their daughter lived in Dallas and she was giving birth to their grandchild, their first grandchild, and they didn't, it was all unexpected. You know, I guess, you know, it was a unexpected arrival. And so they were rushing to get there and they didn't have time to charge their vehicle, or they didn't pay attention to it. And so they stopped at the Walmart and couldn't charge it there. So they found us and they were just so grateful that I would, you know, that I was here, that I was open. And that's one of the reasons why I don't have business hours on my Google, because I don't want to restrict the person that might be in need. And I want them to call, at, you know, or come, you know, but yeah. So my social work that I used to be in San Antonio has definitely rolled over and bled into my nonprofit life, has bled into my for-profit life.
So let's talk about culture. Because you've been here 4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Your dad's had it for a long time. My experience is that you would have repeat visitors, people that choose to come here and they want to come back. And then communities are built off of shared hardship, like the floods, or common interest. In this case, driving around with recreational vehicles.
Yes.
So there's a community that's built. Talk about the culture of the RV world.
Oh, I love the... Okay, so I'm so glad you asked this, because I had no clue. Even though my dad owned an RV park, I was so young when I did spend time here, and then in my adult life, I didn't visit that much. You know, I was too busy. And so I never really paid attention to the RVer too much, but when I started working here 4 years ago, definitely started observing. And so I have my conclusion of RVers, and they have three characteristics. They are adventurous, they have a great sense of humor, and they're flexible. If they're not flexible, the RV will make them flexible. So, and then they'll know they love it or they hate it. But it is just such a unique culture. And I think that probably the most appealing is the adventurous. I'm a very adventurous spirit. And so I just have I love people in general. I just love people. I love the adventurous spirit. And so that's what I would say I see a lot in RVers.
So today on the Waco Experience, an American Story, I'm at North Crest RV Park with Emily. We're just talking about culture. We're talking about the Texas culture, about the RV culture. Let's talk about your journey, your path. You talked about being involved in nonprofits, in social work, San Antonio. Actually, I remember I was at the bus station, the Greyhound bus station in San Antonio. When I got out of basic training in the Air Force, my mother sent me a suitcase I had packed with all my clothes by Greyhound bus. Yeah, so I went down there and picked up my clothes that weren't blue or green. So anyway, so I have been there.
You have been there, yes.
So let's talk about your journey. How did you get here? What has been going on in Emily's life?
Prior to moving to Waco to help my father with North Crest RV Park, I lived in San Antonio and I did nonprofit work for a little under 18 years. And that ranged anywhere from serving in homeless shelters to working in the food bank, San Antonio Food Bank, New Braunfels Food Bank, and also working in women's transition homes and just helping folks with struggles. And so I did that for about 18 years. And a lot of times people don't understand why somebody would, well, I've had people in my life that don't understand why I would dedicate my life to serving the less fortunate, because for 18 years, I did dedicate my life to serving the less fortunate. And I think when you have...
Take your time.
I think when you have been where I have been, seen what I have seen, experienced what I have experienced, and you get a second chance, can you not serve? I just, you know, it's so much a part of who I am. And so just a little bit to kind of understand where I've, you know, what does that mean? Like where you've been, what you've seen. At a very early age, I made some really poor choices as a young individual and got kicked out of school at age 13. And, you know, what does a 13-year-old do with when their parents are at work and they have no siblings at home? And I mean, I remember thinking, please don't kick me out. Like, punish me, whatever you got to do, just please don't kick me out, because I knew there was nothing for me at home, just sitting there. And so, and even if my parents tried to, you know, get me to go somewhere, I would just leave. You know, they had to work. And so, so I found myself, just making one poor choice after another. And, you know, fast forward, I found myself homeless at age 17, living on the streets of San Antonio and finding myself in a really sick addiction. And so just trying to self-medicate. which I didn't, you know, it's interesting when you first start experimenting with drugs, you don't think that it's going to happen to you. You think you're stronger. You think you got it under control. You tell yourself every lie to be okay with the situation. And before I knew it, I was addicted. And it took everything from me. It took self-worth, self-respect, self-dignity. It took ambition. It took my family. It took all money. It took all possessions. It took freedom. It took everything. And I found myself at the bottom of you know, just at my rock bottom. And I had gotten really sick because of the drug abuse, the drug use. I had gotten really sick. I had gotten a heart disease. Right now I weigh 180 pounds. I weighed 110, just to kind of give you an idea of how sick I was. And the crazy part is that I did not care. I just wanted to, I didn't want to live. I wanted to just end. I didn't want to deal with life. And so it's so crazy to go from that to here, life is ending. I am sick. I have a heart disease. The doctors are telling me if you don't straighten up, you're going to die. And I didn't believe them. It was just the craziest thing. I didn't believe them. And finally, a piece of my heart broke off, floated in my bloodstream, and got lodged in the right side of my brain. And that threw my whole mind off. I would hear the see and hear the sentence in my head, but then when I went to speak it, it would come out backwards. Like I would say, what are you doing? I'd say, doing what you? And I'd just grab my mouth, like what just came out? And so that's a different level of, you know, I mean, I just can't really describe, you know, how that feels, but that was a wake up call. Thank God. And so there I was in the hospital. I'd been in there for months. The doctors didn't know what to do with me because I, you know, they were trying to get me to wake up or to come to realization that my choices were killing me. And so there I was in the hospital and earlier I had said that I didn't want to live anymore. So there I was in the hospital and it was the realization that I was dying. The very thing that I had been wanting was in fact happening. And in that moment, I cried out, God, if you're there, if you're real, I don't care what you do with me, how you do it, where you take me, just help. And he heard that cry. He picked me up out of the miry pits. He set my feet upon a path. And here I am, like 20 years later. I know that was in 2004. Yeah, we're 21 years later. I don't even keep track anymore. It's too much. It's 21 years later and I'm alive. I've got a second chance. And I mean, that was the beginning. That was the beginning of the rest of my life. I found freedom because of Jesus Christ. And I cannot tell you what, I mean, it was so unbelievable. I remember being in the courtyard and just thinking, I'm free. And I remember breathing the air. And it was like my first breath. And obviously it wasn't my first breath. I was 23 or 24 years old at the time. And, but it was just, I was so grateful to be alive. So grateful to have a second chance. And so realized that I really enjoyed helping others. Prior to that, I don't think I had experienced helping others before. Or, I mean, I guess maybe I did, but it wasn't, I don't remember. I mean, I'm sure I did. My sisters have lots of stories of me that I don't remember any of the stuff. So some good, some bad. but it was, so yeah, so I went on to when I got out, I went to help at Grace House. And when I was helping there, and I ended up working at Teen Challenge, went to Teen Challenge for a little bit, ended up working there. And these are both programs that help individuals through substance abuse or depression or just any kind of life controlling situation. And so I just found that I truly enjoyed helping others. And so after that, I just went to college and then went and worked at the food bank in San Antonio and just spent the next 18 years serving people.
I knew we would get inspiration coming here and talking with you, Emily, today here at Northcrest RV Park. As we wind down, give hope to those folks that are out there who themselves are going through terrible times. And terrible is defined by that person. Or they have a family member that is going through terrible times. Give us hope.
There is always hope with God. There is always. Probably the best two words in the Bible is, but God. And, you know, I can look at situations and think, and this will sound judgmental of me, and it is one of my weaknesses. I don't know where it comes from, and it's quite hilarious to me that I even would have the audacity to be, I mean, it's just, but the good thing is that God is always there to remind me. But when I see somebody that I think, oh my gosh, you know, are they going to be able to get through that? Are they going to be able to get out of that? And then it's like this little flash of memory of me homeless, living under a bridge in San Antonio, Texas. And then I just smile and I say, of course there's hope. Of course there's a possibility. Of course. Absolutely. My gosh, that may be our future mayor. I better shut up.
Those are great words. This is great. I've had so much fun coming out and talking with you. I know the time would go fast, and it sure does. Emily, thank you for taking the time, for opening up and sharing your life. I know it's going to help other folks.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Waco Experience, An American Story, is a production of D. Scott Smith Company, all rights reserved. Thank you for listening.